Okay, today's mitzvah is mitzvah Reish Chav Gimel, mitzvah 223. As we get to the eighth and final mitzvah related to Matnas Aniyim in this section of Parshas Kedoshim. Today is the Isser of gathering Peret HaKerem. Again, the second mitzvah related to Peret, which is a form of Leket. Leket is the two mitzvahs that apply by non-vines, by grain and the like, where it falls down, I'm not allowed to pick it up. Peret is specifically by a vine, the single grapes that fall down. So yesterday was the mitzvah saseh of leaving it once it falls down, and today is the lo saseh of the isser of picking it up. As we mentioned, this is a lavanita glase. One's not going to get malchus for this. The chenef did not repeat it again at the end because he said it, but the other mitzvahs as well. Lavanita glase to, if I gathered it in, then I just have to give it to the aniyim, and I could fix the aveira. As we mentioned a couple of days ago, this is lavanita glase being one of the three types of mitzvos that have something related to an aveira. Lavanita glase, that's today's example. Ase docha lo sase is another example where it doesn't always have to work out, but where it works out, the ase is docha lo sase. And the other example is mitzvah haba b'aveira. If I have a mitzvah that came out through an aveira, I stole matzah, the Minchas Chinuch discussed a mamzer, no, whether the case may be, those are mitzvah haba aveiras, those are the three areas where you have an interface between an ase and a lo sase, a mitzvah and an aveira. And as we mentioned, mitzvah haba aveira is bad. Ase docha lo sase, meaning you're not supposed to do the mitzvah there. Ase docha lo sase, you're supposed to do the mitzvah, because that's the principle of ase docha lo sase. And lavanita glase is somewhere in the middle. You aren't supposed to do it, but once you did it, you're supposed to do this mitzvah now. So you have the three types of examples. Okay, and that's, again, like we read yesterday, the Isser being defined as shelo lilkot peret hakerem avol nazov oto la'aniyim. An Isser of not gathering, but leave it for the aniyim. It's a mitzvah that we do passively. And we said yesterday that's why one wouldn't make a bracha on this mitzvah from the Rashba in the Tshuva Simin Yurches. A couple of points to talk about today. First is the Minchas Chinuch in Os Aleph. Shelo lilkot peret hakerem, eize o peret, gargir echad o shnei gargirim, vim haya botzer, v'karas es ha'eshkol, if somebody is gathering and harvesting, and he cuts the vine, v'husbach ba'alin, v'nifrat, and his hand gets caught in the branches, and it separates, or in the leaves, not his hand, even, let's say, the eshkol. Let's say I'm trying to get the cluster down, and there are some branches and leaves that are I'm trying to pull it through. And as I pull it through, then it separates. It gets caught in there. That's not peret, because that's an external reason why it got separated. Right? Kimavur la'el, like we saw earlier in Mitzvah Reish Yudches by Leket, Timayiba Ones. If there was an Ones that occurred, if my hand got scratched and I thought, oh! Right? And I have to drop what I had in my hand. So that's not Leket. Leket is only the natural falling of items in the regular harvesting process. But if there's a specific reason, because you have something stuck in the middle and you can't get the cluster, and therefore when you pull it through, some of them pop off, that is not called Leket. So, or peret. So just like it applies by leket, the Minchas Chinuch applies it by peret as well. So that is the principle. Let's talk about that for a moment, because this is about, this Minchas Chinuch is part of a large discussion, and that is, how do we look at actions done ba'ones? Actions done then when we didn't want it to happen, when we're forced to it. So here we didn't want this to separate, and what forced me to do it? The branch forced me to do it. The branch forced the cluster out. But this comes up in many areas of halacha. If somebody's ba'ones, so what is the halacha? For example, it comes up, we had a daf be'in shir about this, it comes up by mitzvos and by averos. If somebody does cannot do a mitzvah, ba'ones. Right, I'm driving somewhere to do a mitzvah, and somebody gets a flat tire. Right, so in that case, do you get the credit for the mitzvah or not? How do you look at a ma'isa mitzvah that you cannot do because of ones? The same question can be asked the opposite way. What if you're forced to do an avera? Somebody puts a gun to my head and says, "Eat this piece of treif." So I eat the piece of treif because that's the halacha. It's not one of the big three. So is that called an avera? I mean, what are the two ways you could formulate it? By an aveira. Or here, in the case of peret, do we say that it really is peret, but you're allowed to keep it, or it's not even peret? The ones redefines the action. So you could ask that same question by mitzvos and by aveiros. Let's do aveiros first. Right, aveiros. When I do an aveira be ones, is it that I did an aveira, but Hashem knows, I have a good excuse. I did the aveira, but I'm not going to be punished for it, because it was by ones. Or do I say, no, it's even deeper, I didn't do the aveira. I didn't eat treif. I did an act that was bonus, but that's not called eating treif with an excuse. That's not called eating treif. So there's two ways to look at a a maisa aveira done ba'ones, right? That is the relates to the Rambam and Ichlus Yisodei HaTorah, where the Rambam says, let's say somebody volunteers something that is not one of the big three. Ba'ones. Somebody says, eat this piece of shrefer, I'll kill you. It's not shas hashmad. It's not a time when you have to give every aveira, even how you tie your shoes. It's not shas hashmad. Could somebody volunteer? That's a machlokas rishonim. Some rishonim say, you're allowed to volunteer, one of the big three, because you're trying to make a point. The Rambam says, no way. The Rambam says you're not allowed to volunteer one of the big three. If somebody says that eat this piece of treif or I'm going to kill you, and a person lets himself be killed instead of eating the treif, the Rambam says that guy is chayim misa. He's already dead. But he did something that's chayim misa. But what do you see from that Rambam? The act was still ba'ones. So it must be that according to the Rambam, it's not mukhrach, but it must be according to the Rambam, a maisa aveira, ba'ones is a maisa aveira. It's just that usually you're allowed to do it. You have an excuse. But here, you're not allowed to do it. If you say that a Maisa Aveira Ba'onis is not called a Maisa Aveira, then maybe that's what the other Rishonim say. That it shouldn't be called violating here. So it sounds like from that Rambam, maybe that's what the Rishonim argue about. How do you view a Maisa Aveira that was done Ba'onis? Right? That question, can you volunteer one of the non-big three Averos in a situation where one's life is in danger? There's a fascinating discussion. This, again, we had months ago, maybe last year sometime, relating to this topic of a maisa aveira ba'ones. The Achronim discuss what happens if you have a maisa that is beratzon in a situation of ones. The Rebbe Yehuda has the tragic shaila. There was a group of Jews that were captured. They were traveling, and they were captured on the road by some bandits, by a caravan of wicked people, and the bandit was going to kill all of them, like 20, 30 Jews. And one woman was able to go and seduce this head bandit and be mezana with him, in quotes, and in that way she was able to save the whole all the Jewish people in that group. So the question is, that's a maisa baratzon. That was done baratzon, willingly. But obviously the situation was ones, right? Similar to Esther Amalka. Right? Esther Amalka was also so. The Noda Behuda was asked after the fact, number one, was that allowed? Was it a good thing what she did? And number two, is she Neseros al Baila? Because we know a woman is Neseros al Baila only if she's Mizana Baratzo and not if she's Mizana Ba'ones. Those are the two parts of the Shaila. So if you look at the Achronim, you have all three opinions. How do you have all three opinions? The problem is, you have Esther in the Gemara in Megillah, which appears to be Usser. Kasher Avadati Avadati, what does Chazal say? Just like I was lost from... I was lost before, and now I'm going to be Nesar Osabayla right now. That's what Chazal darshan from Kasher Avati Avadzi, because now Esther is going Baratzon to Achashverosh. Before it was just Ba'ones. So it sounds like from Esther that you're allowed to do it, because she's saving. We don't fault Esther. She had Ruach HaKodesh at this point, right? But she became Nesar Osabayla. So it sounds like that's the middle opinion of the Achronim. The Chachma Shlomo has this, and Odebi Yehuda. All three Shitas are in the Achronim. So one sheet, the middle sheet is that you're allowed to do it, but Nesar Osabayla. The other sheet is that you're not allowed to even allowed to do it. That's the Noda Behuda. Noda Behuda holds, no, in the case that came in front of him, she wasn't allowed to do it. Esther was different because it was Hatzolas Kol Yisrael. All the Jews, he's telling the entire, saving the entire nation that you're allowed to do. But even if it's less than that, saving 20, 30 Jews, not allowed to. Not allowed to. And yet everybody has to let themselves be killed instead of that. That's the Noda Behuda on one extreme. On the other hand, the other, I think it was the Chachma Shlomo who suggests that, no, it's mutter to do, and she's not Nesaros Sabayla in this type of case. What about Esther? Esther was different because it wasn't so direct. It wasn't as direct. Esther went to be Mazan, to be with Achashverosh willingly, to get on his good side, and then she's going to invite Haman to a party, and then she's going to say, Haman's trying to kill my people. So hopefully it'll lead to a Hatzalah. But it wasn't as direct. This act will lead to the Hatzalah, and therefore, that's why she was Neseros HaBaila in that case. But says the Chachma Shlomo, in other cases, similar, where it's more direct, the act of Znus, that would be not even Neseros HaBaila. Not even Neseros HaBaila. Okay, this has to do with Ya'el as well. The Gemara Nazir discusses Ya'el in terms of Aveira Lashma, a Ya'el that the Chazal say she was with Sisra a number of times in order to tire him out, in order to bring the Yeshua. So it's a machlokas discussion in the Achronim, whether she was Neseros HaBaila also. Ya'el Esther, you say it's the same thing. But either way, this all has to do with a Maisa Aveira Ba'ones. The act is Ba'ones, or these last examples, that the situation is Ones, but the act was Ratzon. We also have this by mitzvos. Where do we have this by mitzvos? As we just said, Rabbi Yosef Engel has, I forgot to bring it, he says in the Lech HaTov, he has a piece that, let's say somebody's trying to do a mitzvah and they're nanas, right? So what's the halacha in that case? Do you get credit as if you did the mitzvah or not? So he's mechalik between basically what we would call result-oriented mitzvos or action-oriented mitzvos. Or it might be called ben adam lamakoms or ben adam lachaveros. If I don't have enough money to buy a lulav and I can't buy it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give me the credit as if I did it. Hashem will say, okay, ki'ilu aso. Because it's lulav, it's between him and me. It's an action that's required. But what about Bikur Cholim? If I'm on my way to do Bikur Cholim and I never get there, something comes up. Right? I'm planning to go to a wedding, but then something happens with the kids, and I have to stay home and I have to miss something. Do I get the credit? So by those, l'chora, we don't fault you, but you're not going to get the credit. Because it's result-oriented. Result-oriented. Therefore, how can you say that you're going to get the credit? So ki'ilu asa'o is only going to be by mitzvos ben adam l'makom, he suggests, and not by mitzvos ben adam l'chaveiro. Rabbi Yosef Engel himself has this specifically by the Mishnah in Maseches Gittin, where the Mishnah there discusses a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about a woman who is a chatzi shifa chatzi bas chorin. How do you become a chatzi shifa chatzi bas chorin? If you have two masters and one of them let you free and not the other one. So half free, half shifcha. So Beis Shammai says we force the master to free the woman. We force the master to free the woman. Why? Because she's never going to get married. It's terrible. Because she can't marry a free person because of her tzadata. She can't marry an ever because of her tzadshivchus. And Beis Hillel argues, but Beis Hillel, the Gemara says at the end, that he's moded to Beis Shammai. But so the din is that we force the other master, who hasn't freed this slave yet, to free the slave. Why? Because they're never going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of marriage. Not the mitzvah of marriage. The Mishnah doesn't say the mitzvah of marriage. The Mishnah says the mitzvah of having children. As it says, and we would have expected this Mishnah in the fourth parak of Gittin to say, Puravu. But it said it doesn't say Puravu. It says, Lo Sohu Bara, Lo Shavas Yitzara. Right? The Pasuk in Navi, which is about the mitzvah derabanan of populating the world. Even after a boy and a girl, right? Populating the world. It asks Tosfos, it has to be shown him. Why is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi quoting this Pasuk? Why is he quoting this Pasuk of Lo Sohu Bara, Lo Shavas Yitzara? Quote the mitzvah daraisa, Puravu. So Rabbi Yosef Engel explains, the mitzvah puravu is more of a maisa-oriented mitzvah. And therefore, if you're in an one state and you can't do it, we'll say it as if you did it. So mitzvah puravu, we wouldn't force the master to free the shivcha. But mitzvah lo so bara, populating the world. So then, well, we discussed this way back in mitzvah 1, puravu, right? Populating the world, so that's a result-oriented mitzvah, and that's why it specifically says there, because we can't give you the credit in that case. So you have the idea of ones, how it affects averos, how it affects mitzvos, and how it affects just dinim and actions, like here. Like this case, I dropped it ba'ones. So what is that called? Give another example of a din. What happens if somebody doesn't daven ba'ones? Somebody doesn't daven ba'ones. So is that called, in terms of tashlumen, right? Something happens. Is that a regular case of you didn't daven, and therefore you have to daven again? The post can discuss. Let's say, I'm sorry, it comes up specifically, I should have started with this, ones besof hazman. The post can talk about, let's say, I say, I'm going to daven later, I'm going to daven, and all at the end of the time when I'm going to daven, something happens and I can't daven. Is that called pshia? Is that called shogeg? Is that called ones? Because I had plenty of time to daven. I waited to the last minute, and then something happened that was out of my control. So again, that affects how do you look at an act that was done ba'ones. Okay, all this is all about Minchas Chinuch Os Aleph, related to the halacha of parrot falling down in an ones way. The other point I wanted to mention is the Minchas Chinuch Os Hay, where the Minchas Chinuch discusses what happens if somebody violates today's Aveira. They take in the parrot, and then what happens? Os Hay, v'hini kol adinim avur, dim avar lalav eno lokin dekayim asay. As we said, it's a lavanitak lase, you can just do the mitzvah. Ach im nisraf o ne'evan hakatsir, what happens if it gets burned up? Something happens. Da azlo yuchalakayim ha'asei, azlokin. The second that the asei is no longer possible to be mekayim, then you get malchus. There's a machlokas in Maseches Makos. This is what the Minchas Chinuch suggests, that once the asei disappears, then it's just a regular lav. V'nireli. Here it's only where it's totally burned or lost, where you can't do the assay, and you're not chayiv b'tashlumin. You don't have a chayiv to make it up. So you're going to get malchus. We're going to have tomorrow's mitzvah, Be'ez Hashem. The next mitzvah, whenever we get to do it, is geneva. There, you'll always be able to pay up, even if the item gets destroyed. right? Just pay the value. But here, who are you going to pay to? The mitzvah is on the items. It's on the peret. It's not just on the money. So therefore, it's not on a amount that you have a chiyuv to pay. The peret themselves, and once the peret disappears, so then memelo there is no mitzvah. He says, "Ayin chulin perek hazroa, look in chulin. What's in chulin? That is chulin koflamina mebeis, where the Gemara talks about mazik matnas kahuna. If I destroy matnas kahuna, or if I eat them, let's say I have truma and I destroy it, do I have to pay anything to the kohen? So if I steal truma, if I eat truma by accident that belongs to a kohen, then I'm chayiv. I'm chayiv too. If I eat a b'shogi, I have to pay the karen, I have to add on a chomish also. If I eat a b'meiz, I'm chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. But let's say I didn't give it to any kohen yet. I have it in my house and I eat it. So who's the kohen? The Gemara says you putter. You're putter. Because mazik not as good as you putter. Because who are you going to pay? The Gemara gives two reasons why you're putter. Number one, either it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, again, chulin, kuf lamin abbeis. The pasuk says, I'll read it to you. Amar v'chizda, mazik manas kahuna osha achlan patur milashalem. My taima, iba yiseima dechsiv zeh. Zeh, this is what you have to give to the kohen and nothing else. Iba yiseima mishum tahavi malay mamon she'in lo tovim. Because it's money that has no claimers. Which kohen is going to claim it? Nobody. Nobody specifically, so that's why you're putter. You're only chayiv in dini mamonis if there's somebody claiming what you owe them. But if there's no claimers, so then you are putter. That's two days. Very beautiful explanation of the stipler on a machlokas rishonim and akamara. Is there a chiyuv latzi sidei shamayim to go to give the value to any kohen you find on the street? Is there any latzi sidei shamayim for that? And to relate it to our case. The Minchas Chinuch is relating this gemara to our case. Let's say you ate the parrot. Is there any mitzvah to go give the value of the parrot that you had to an ani on the street? That's a machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran. Tosfos there on that Gemara says, well, it depends which reason you hold of in the Gemara. If you hold the reason of Zeh, this is the mitzvah and nothing else, then there's no Latzis Yidei Shamayim. There's no Chiyiv to do it. The mitzvah is only on Zeh. But if you say it's Mamun She'in Lo Tovim, it's a Mamun that nobody's claiming, but yeah, it's still a mitzvah. There's nobody claiming, but really, the Chiyiv is still there, so you should find the Kohen on the street to give it to. That's what Tosfos says. That according to at least one opinion in the Gemara of Mamun She'in Lo Tovim, you should try to find an ani or a kohen. Says the Ran on that Gemara there, chulun koflamin, no way! Mamun she'en lo tovim means there's no chiyuv. And therefore you don't have to find a kohen, you don't have to find an ani. Machlokas Tosfos in the Ran. What's the machlokas about? Says the stipler on that Gemara in chulin, it's a machlokas about how to understand the principle of mamun she'en lo tovim. What does it mean that truma, or peret in our case, what does it mean that there's no claimers, no specific ani that can say, oh, you stole from me? This is Kilos Yaakov and Chulin Simin Lamid Vav. What does that mean? So he says, Inim Amashin Latovim, the Yesh Lafares, Shebeemes Kfar Nasu Manus Kunim Amonish Al Shevet. Really, it belongs to all of the Kohanim, it's just that you don't know which coin to give it to. But let's say all the Kohanim, the whole Shevet, gets together and appoints one Kohen to collect the money for them. Or all the Aniyim in the world appoint one Ani. Then you know what? It won't be Mamun She'en Lo Tovim. It will be Yesh Lo Tovim. Because this guy is the one that you have to give it to. That's one way to understand it. It's just a practical problem. You don't know who to give it to. But if you'd have somebody, you would. Or, says the stipler, no. Maybe by definition, it's Mamun She'en Lo Tovim because it's called Hefker L'Shevet. It does not belong to one person. It can't belong to one person. It's defined as Mamono Shel Shevet on a fundamental level. And therefore, says the stipler, even if El Shevet would appoint one person, it still would be called Mamun She'en Lo Tovim. It still would be defined as no, it's not earmarked for anybody. So he says, that's the machlokas, Tosfos and the Ran. Tosfos says that there's a Latzi Sidei Shamayim to give it, because he holds like the first away. That really it is, if you could find a Toveya, you would have to give it. If there's only one Kohen in the entire world, would you have to give it to him? The answer is yes. Masha Enki and the Ran would say, no, fundamentally, Mamun She'en Lo Tovim means there is no Toveya by this item, and therefore it would be no chiyuv according to either daya of the Gemara. Okay, there's other nafkaminas he quotes. Ken matnas kahuna be stolen? Okay, you can look here in Simin Lamed Vav in the stipler. Okay, good. A general topic, which again is a lark. Maybe we'll just touch on it now. We'll get to it at another date, and that is what we're talking about by all these mitzvos is really in the background. What we're talking about is the concept of hefker, right? You have to be mafkir. You have to leave your items to be taken by the aniyim, all these matnas aniyim. There are two discussions in Lumdis about Hefker. Number one, how Hefker works, and number two, what does Hefker accomplish? Those are two discussions. Number one, how does Hefker work? We know usually by transitions of bilus, there's an active party. Right, I sell you something, I give you something, I accept something from you. There's action going on halachically. There are legal issues going on. I give, I take, I buy, I sell. That's usual transactions. Change of rishus, transfer of rishus. What about hefker? Is that comparable to, let's say, selling it? I sell it to you, I give it to you, I mafkir it to the world. Is that what hefker is? It's what's called a hakna'ah? I am doing something actively, giving it to the world. Or no, in the language of the Achronim, maybe it's what's called a siluk. I'm not really doing anything. I'm just removing myself from, I'm removing my bilus. Because what are you doing? You're giving it to who? You're giving it to the street? You can't give something to the street. Halachically, that's called removing yourself, not actively doing anything. Those are two ideas in Hefker. If you want to look at the pre-Moshe, in his Sefer on Kinyanim, in Siman Lamed Zayin, discusses these two ideas, whether it is called hefker, or whether it is a hakna'a, an active hakna'a, or it is a siluk, just a removal of oneself. So that's a big enough community could be, when the person picks it up, does he have any connection to you? Right, you might, that's enough community to discuss. But either way, that is, this guy, he says, yesh lachkar begedet din hefker, hemu rak din siluk, shemistalik me'achifetz, but with the other side, Oef Shalomar de'ena bilus mistalekas me'atzma hecha shirak mistalek me'emishtamshus ela be'inyi chalos din hefker sheyafker es anachasim. It's more active. That's one issue. How hefker works. The second point is, what does hefker accomplish? After I'm mafker something, so that item is in what state? Who owns that item now? What state is it in? So that is a big discussion. One might say that it's no man's land. It's a no rishus. Because there is no rishus, right? It's no rishus. It's hefker. It's on the street. Number two might be that there's a state called, these are similar. You might say it's a lack of rishus. You might say there is a rishus called hefker. Like there's a rishus called hektish. There's a rishus called hefker. Positive. Maybe that means it's a rishus owned by the whole world, by the whole rabbim in that state. A third idea might be, and this might relate to the siluk approach, this is what the Ksos suggests, I'll tell you where it is, I brought it, in Simin, Reishai and Gimel, the Ksos says maybe it still belongs to the owner. Especially if you take a siluk approach. Siluk means I remove my rights for preventing you from getting it. But it's still mine until you get it. You're allowed to pick it up and take it. But it's still mine. So that's a separate issue, which obviously relates, but what does hefker accomplish? After it's hefker, whose is it? Big nafkamina in terms of bitul chametz. The first daf in Psachim discusses, and daf dalet, what's bitul chametz? Some Rishonim, Tosfos there says bitul is hefker. If you take the last approach to hefker that we just said, that it's really still mine, I'm just massaging myself, but it's really mine until you take it, that's not going to work for bitul chametz, because you can't have it in your rishus. It's bal yirah bal yimatzeh. So either you have to take a different approach to hefker, or you have to take a different approach to bitul. Either way, but this is these are some of the issues. Again, obviously a large topic. Some of the issues that when it comes to hefker. Okay, but that's all these mitzvahs have to do with hefker. Today's mitzvah again was the issur of gathering your parrot. Baruch Hashem, the next time we continue will be back to other issues. The mitzvah that we could spend many hours on. The mitzvah, the losase of geneva.